Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. The critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There's only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Oh, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
Good morning and welcome to the Sports Hub Golf Club. It's Hardy coming to you on this Dell Technologies Championship weekend. Hopefully, you get a chance to head out and catch some of the tournament, as I've been out there for the first couple of days and a lot to talk about already. So I will begin with what I did on Thursday before the tournament even started. I was out on Thursday during the Pro-Am. I got a chance to say hello to Brendan Steele, whom we've had on the show before and has all but promised to join us live during the tournament this weekend. It didn't work out yesterday as he had a late tee time. And I don't know any of these guys who will sit down before they play. They always like to sit down and talk after they play. And that wasn't possible as we were on from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. yesterday. But got a chance to meet Brendan in person. Great guy. And I look forward to being able to talk with him more this weekend. I also hosted a PGA Tour player panel once again for some sponsors out there at the Dell Technologies Championship. And I did it last year with Patrick Reed and Harold Varner was out there. It was a good group last year and we had a lot of fun. I didn't know how it was going to go this year because this year it was Henrik Stenson, Daniel Berger, and Kevin Chappell. Now, I have never met Kevin Chappell or Daniel Berger, and Henrik Stenson only once. And that was in another setting. I believe it wasn't the Dell. It was when it was still the Deutsche Bank Championship. But he came in and talked after his round, and he was, you know, pretty straight-laced. Not a lot to say, just a few minutes after his round, and that was that. So I thought, well, this has the potential to go kind of bad because it's a relatively intimate setting. I don't know, 40, 50 people in a room there at the 17th tee box there in the hospitality suite. And just, you know, a few stools, a few microphones, sit very close to each other. And, you know, it's my job to kind of facilitate the conversation, ask some questions, see if anybody else has some questions. And, you know, 30, 45 minutes, which can be an eternity if the guys aren't having fun or they're not loosened up and you just don't know. Well, all of that worry was for nothing because Henrik Stenson and Daniel Berger and Kevin Chappell were all phenomenal. And I had no idea what a ball buster Henrik Stenson was going to be. You know, I introduced all these guys and gave a brief description of what they've done so far on tour with Kevin Chappell. I believe he's got the one win at the Valero Texas Open. And for Daniel Berger, a back-to-back winner at the FedEx St. Jude's Classic in 2016 and 17. And then there's Henrik Stenson, you know, winner of the Open Championship in the last couple of years, 6 wins on the PGA Tour, 11 more on the European Tour. I mean, this guy's an accomplished player. But Daniel Berger had no problems taking shots at Henrik Stenson, saying stuff like, well, you know, this course is, you know, it's better if you can hit driver. I don't know how Henrik's going to do out here, seeing how he can't hit driver. And to which Henrik would say, well, you know, once you've won 5 more times, why don't you come talk to me about what it's like to play well on tour and back and forth. And I mean, it's obviously not going to be as funny or as ball busty sounding when I retell it. But suffice it to say, those guys were great. So to the point where there was actually some colorful language used. I think Henrik may sit down and join us again if the schedules match up for the rest of the weekend. So I'm going to look forward to that. Also, yesterday, I was doing the 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. show with Christian Arcand, and he and I were mostly talking Pats and Sox, and nobody came off the course until about 12:30, 1 o'clock. But when they did, we were joined by two players, and you will hear those players coming up a little bit later in the show. We got a chance to talk to CT Pan, who you may remember a couple of weeks ago. His wife had a caddy for him for about a round and a half. So we asked him about that. And Keegan Bradley, who played very well yesterday, and when we spoke with him, was tied atop the leaderboard. He sat down with us right after his round. Keegan, who is a Vermont guy and I believe went to high school in Hopkinton, he's got always got huge fans following him around at this tournament at the TPC Boston. So a little bit later in the show, we'll hear from both CT Pan and Keegan Bradley if you missed it yesterday afternoon. As for the leaders now, Justin Rose alone atop the leaderboard after yesterday's round one. He shot a 6-under par 65. It's a par 71 for the setup there at the TPC Boston for the Dell Technologies Championship. So Justin Rose alone atop the leaderboard, who had a virtually an error-free round. I'm sure there were a couple of pars in there that he would like to have had birdies, but you know, he seemingly did everything right. I would guess without going back and being able to talk to him, he would like a birdie at number two on the par five, but he birdied the other par five on the front, number seven. He also birdied the par four fourth, and then he made birdies on 10, 15, 17, and 18. No bogeys, six birdies to go with the 12 pars that he made. So that's how Justin Rose managed to get all alone atop the leaderboard. Two players, one stroke back, Russell Knox and Abraham Anser. And then, as I mentioned, Keegan Bradley, who went 4-under in the first round, he's joined by Gary Woodland, Bo Hostler, who was playing with Keegan Bradley, and Chris Kirk, all of those players, two strokes off the lead. So really a lot of guys. I mean, you go all the way down to, I guess the first 32 players for guys who are within five shots of the lead after the first round. So, of course, after one round, it's pretty much anyone's tournament anyway. But guys are really packed in there at two and three strokes off the lead right now, including Brooks Koepka, who's a two-time major champion this year alone. Of course, your back-to-back U.S. Open winner from last year and this year. Henrik Stenson, who I mentioned before, he's 2-under. Jordan Spieth, also 2-under par. A lot of great players up there near the top of the leaderboard. Dustin Johnson, three strokes off the lead. We'll have a lot to watch for later today. A lot of people excited to see Phil Mickelson out there. He's 1-over par after he shot a 72, as is Brendan Steele. I mentioned him earlier. And Tiger Woods, who had a very rough start to his tournament, hooked one off the first tee. He teed off on 10. He made a few bogeys on the front, including 13 and 16, the par three, but managed a birdie on 17, another one when he made the turn and then played the front nine, second in his round yesterday. He made birdies at 4 and 7, added one more bogey on number six, but all in all, 1-over par 72. So a lot of people got a chance to see Tiger yesterday. Many, many more will be watching him today, and hopefully you get a chance to see him out there. It's just good to have Tiger back out there playing at the TPC Boston. And I just love being out there. I get a chance to see a bunch of people I only see like once a year. For instance, a guy who I spoke with yesterday, his name is John Farron. He's the general manager of Ballyliffin, which was the host of the Irish Open this year. Always good to talk to John. And since I thought you might want to hear our conversation too, I recorded it. So I started off by saying, essentially, it's good to see you.
Great to see you again, Hardy. Great to be here.
Everybody who sees you and knows you says, oh, I'm friends with that guy. It's not the GM at a golf course. It's not the guy who helped me set up my golf trip to Ireland. Everybody thinks of you as their friend, John.
Well, that's what Ireland's all about, and that's what golf in Ireland is all about. And that's why we're here this week, because, Boston's a hotbed of Irish culture, and a lot of people have...
You're kidding. I haven't noticed that.
I'm sure you have. So, it's a market that's very close to our hearts, and we get a lot of visitors from Boston every year, so it's important.
The fun thing about people who go to Ireland for the first time from Boston, it's not that you're going to meet somebody who knows someone from Boston. You tell them what town you're in, tell them what street you live on. Chances are you're going to run into somebody at a golf course, at a pub, somewhere. Oh, do you know so-and-so? And there's so many connections between here and there.
Yeah, Ireland's a small country, and it's Boston's really a part of Ireland, in our view anyway, and certainly the links are there, and really it's a very small world.
Well, let's talk about your part of Ireland, specifically Ballyliffin, which got a lot of attention here recently. Tell everybody what happened there in case they didn't see it or didn't know what they were watching.
Yeah, we hosted the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open for the first time in July of this year, and tremendous success, and Rory McIlroy was the host, and the weather was kind to us, and we had over 95,000 people there. The broadcast pictures were just tremendous, and really it has lit up the whole of Donegal and really put us on the map.
I saw pictures from it. It looks phenomenal. I mean, I've seen brochures from your place and I've seen things online, but to see sustained coverage and see what it looks like, the golf course just looks tremendous. For people who want to go play, and specifically at Ballyliffin, what are they in for once they get on the grounds?
Well, it's links golf, pure links golf. You're right on the coast. We have two links courses in Ballyliffin, the Old Links and Glasheedy Links. It's a cultural experience as much as a golf experience. So it's important to give yourself time to enjoy and smell the roses, as we say. And that includes Guinness and the whiskey offerings that we have in Donegal and the whole North Coast. You know, we're right beside Royal Portrush, the Open Championships there next year. It's a big moment in the limelight for the whole North Coast, and it's long overdue. We saw 40 years of troubles in Ireland where people weren't coming to our part of the world, but now really the North Coast has been seen as the premier destination in Ireland. That's where everybody wants to come and play links golf.
How did your golf course handle 95,000 people tracking all over it and then the people playing on it for that time?
Yeah, a lot of planning went into it, Hardy. A couple of years, the traffic management, we parked everyone on site, so you walked from the car park to the course, 2 minutes walk. The infrastructure, we're in rural Donegal, so the road infrastructure isn't what you have here, but it coped remarkably well with the whole event, and everything went off really smooth.
Does your type of golf course and links style golf, and again, this is John Farron, he's the general manager at Ballyliffin, does the type of turf and the conditions there kind of lend itself to a little more traffic and a little more harsh conditions, whether it's from crowds or extra play or certainly, I guess my question is a long way of asking it, is it more durable than the courses that we see around here in Boston?
It is. Links courses can take the weather. They're free draining. We're on 60 foot of sand with every footstep you take in Ballyliffin, so there's no problem with getting rid of the water that we sometimes get in Ireland, even though this year we had a remarkably dry summer. The golf course coped remarkably well with it, and it's back to normal now. You wouldn't even know there'd been a tournament there.
You know, I've spoken with you and John McLaughlin over the years from North and West Coast Links. You guys provide a tremendous service of not only telling people about your golf course and inviting them over to play, but actually putting together like the entire itinerary for people who want to come and play more than one course while they're there, which you highly recommend.
Yeah, of course, I'm biased. I'm pro Ballyliffin at all times, but people don't come to the island of Ireland to play one or two golf courses. They come as part of a package, and that's where John McLaughlin and North and West Coast Links facilitates people coming into the country, everything from the coach to the hotel accommodations to the meals to the tours of the whiskey distilleries to the sightseeing trips to see whales, dolphins, whatever it may be, as well as the golf. So really it's a one-stop shop for people thinking of coming to Ireland.
What are things going to be like next year when the Open's at Royal Portrush? Do you expect a lot of people coming over to play your course? Because that's what happens. People watch tournament golf and then you go out to the golf course later that day or the next day and it's full. It puts people in mind to play golf. Will you experience an uptick, do you think, next year in terms of tee times and people wanting to play your course just because the Open's going to be held nearby?
Yeah, we've seen it already, Hardy. We're tremendously busy next July with visitors coming in, playing golf as part of a trip and going to see the Open one or two days. So, Portrush is less than an hour from us. It's an ideal site. I was actually talking to Jay Monahan from the PGA Tour yesterday to try and get him to come and play Ballyliffin with a view to maybe doing something with the PGA Tour long term. Certainly, that's an ambition that Ballyliffin would hold close to our hearts. And, you know, it's hard to beat getting the man himself on site.
Right. Well, I tell you what, I think it's going to do wonders for the Open Championship next year, as it will be the last major championship on the calendar. Not that it is lacked in importance. I mean, this year's Open Championship was, I think, the best of all four that took place this year, just in terms of the drama and the setting. But it's going to have the, what I think is the added benefit next year of being the last one, last chance to win a major, and it's going to be happening essentially in your backyard.
Yeah, people seem to have seized upon that. You know, the fact that the Open Championship is coming back to the island of Ireland for the first time in, you know, 70 years, it's a sellout. All the tickets are gone.
All gone already?
All gone, which is, you know, unheralded. And that's a testament to the passion that people have for the Open Championship, but also for that part of the world and for the fact that it's returning to the island of Ireland. And, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for people to come to Ireland, witness the Open Championship and play some great golf while they do so.
And it's my favorite championship, that and the Masters, just because of the time it's on. You know, I was able to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and watch golf for 7 straight hours before my family was ready to do anything for the day. I'm like, oh, you guys are all dressed and ready to go. Good. Tournament's over. Let's go.
Yeah. It's great. You know, the timings couldn't really be better in terms of the Open Championships during the summer. And indeed, the Irish Open this year, you know, we got rave reviews from the U.S. Commentators and spectators, everyone giving us great feedback on the pictures that were broadcast over here. So, you know, it's good for golf and great for our part of the world.
Well, John Farron, he's the general manager at Ballyliffin. For people who do go over there to play, you know, you see this when the British Open is on, you hear people who get a chance to go over there and play. You guys get daylight absurdly late over there, don't you?
Yeah, you can play in our part of the world in certainly in from start of June to sort of towards the end of July, up until 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, come on.
Yep. It's unreal. It's nearly 24-hour golf.
Okay, so can you still see the ball at 11 o'clock at night, or does the whiskey help at that point?
When you hit it as straight as you do, you can see it.
You've never seen me in a golf ball, obviously. Well, I'm hoping to change that very soon. So for me or anyone else who wants to put together a trip, obviously Ballyliffin first on the list, but for visiting you or getting in touch with John McLaughlin, how do we get in touch with you guys? How do we find out more?
You can get me on ballyliffingolfclub.com or John McLaughlin, who acts as a tour operator and puts together the entire trips, at northandwestcoastlinks.com.
Okay, there we go. So, and people, by the way, if you're walking around the Dell Technologies Championship later today or tomorrow or Monday, you'll no doubt see John. He is a tall, statuesque Irish gentleman. You can't miss him. He'll probably strike up a conversation with you, and you'll walk away saying, oh, I'm friends with that guy. That's how everybody treats you.
Yeah, well, that's why we're here, Hardy. That's why we're here. And delighted to be here again, and great to see you again. And hopefully we'll get you over to Ballyliffin very shortly.
One of these days, it's going to happen. John Farron, thanks again for the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
Back now on the Sports Hub Golf Club on this Dell Technologies Championship weekend. It's Hardy. I'll be out there again later today, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And again on Sunday, 2 to 6 and Monday, 3 to 7. But yesterday, Christian Arkan and I were doing the midday show. And toward the end of the show, we were joined by a couple of players. And I figured if you missed it, I'll get a chance to play them for you again right now. Starting with CT Pan, who had a good story about who was caddying for him a couple of weeks ago. So the first thing I wanted to ask him was who was caddying for him in the first round of the tournament.
Fluff, Mike is caddying for me.
Okay, very good. So could you bring everybody up to speed on what you were doing caddy-wise here in the last few weeks?
So my wife, she caddy for me 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
That went well. I finished second place. Kind of blew my last hole, but, you know, it's okay. Just one bad shot for the day. She's been great. I mean, she definitely experienced the whole thing. The rain delay, the waiting, being contention. And, you know, tough walk for her. You know, she had to walk like 28 holes last day because we had a rain delay after 3 rounds.
Right.
So that was a really cool experience for us.
What happens when she gives you the wrong club? Can you, like, can you be like, hey, no, honey, that's not right. You know, what do you do?
You just kind of quietly change the club, I guess. There's not much choice there.
I mean, I heard you talk about this a little bit. It's not like her first time on the golf course or anything. I mean, she knows her way around a golf course. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, did she do anything in terms of, like, green reading? Was it, like, the same relationship in any way, like, you have with Fluff? Or was this, like, just, no, I just need someone to carry the clubs for me.
Yeah,
and that's enough.
She, you know, she basically just carried the club. Right. And I said this in media, and I shouldn't say it again. But she did great. I mean, when in some important moment, she told me, you know, to calm down, take a deep breath. So that always helps.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about your round a little bit today. 2 under par, shot a 69 out there today. You guys, when I say you guys, players of your caliber, hate making bogeys, especially on par fives. How much do you hate the six that you made on the seventh hole par five today?
I hate it very much.
How does a player of your caliber, CT, how do you make a bogey on a par five?
You know, I just got greedy and then. First of all, I pushed my drive into the rough on the right, and then I got greedy trying to hit three out of it, and then just turned out to be a disaster. Every day we got to make a lot of decisions out there, and sometimes you just make a bad one, and then you just got to suck it out and then keep moving, I guess.
Yeah, and in terms of the conditions out here today, I don't know how long you've been in town, but it was absurdly hot here for a few days. How much differently is the course behaving and playing today as opposed to days leading up?
It's very different. I mean, we got, I don't know, we got like 10-mile wind today and in the 70s. And I was first group off in the morning and just playing a little bit longer than usual. And the greens are firm, so it's kind of hard to judge. And it's not easy out there. And, you know, rough is brutal as well. So.
What's worse, 105-degree day like yesterday or a blowy day like today?
Oh, I love playing golf like this. Well, I'm from Seattle, so yeah. I'm a little bit biased.
You are into tennis. Are you paying attention to the U.S. Open at all right now?
Yeah, I actually went there on Tuesday. Is it Tuesday? Yeah, I went to watch U.S. Open.
Oh, you got a chance to see some of it. Have you been to the U.S. Open before?
No.
I hear it's a fantastic event just to
The venue is amazing. I mean, it's perfect place for, you know, for tennis fans to watch like, multiple games at one time. It was at one spot. So my wife and I, we really enjoyed it. And then we definitely want to go back again.
Serena versus Venus, I think, is tonight.
Yeah.
Who do you like?
I don't know. I just love watching the game. You know?
I know. I think the answer is Serena, but I don't know. It's going to be fun to watch them competing against each other. All right, CT, congratulations on your round today.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, that's CT Pan, who joined me and Christian Arcand yesterday after his round at the Dell Technologies Championship. And just a couple of minutes after we spoke with him, Keegan Bradley sat down with us, which is great. I mean, he's a local favorite, and he had a really good round yesterday. I started by congratulating him on his round.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, it was a good day. It's tough out there.
What? I mean, but what a grouping.
Yeah, we played well. It's always fun. It's very rare that you get that, especially on a Thursday, that we all kind of go out there and play well. So that was awesome.
So you and Bo both shot 4 under today, is that correct?
We did, yeah. Bo made a bunch of birdies coming in. It's fun to be in that group because who knows, maybe, you know, we keep playing, we could all be together there on Sunday. That'd be fun.
Has that ever happened to you before throughout a 4-round tournament where you have at least one of the guys that you start off with and you end up playing together for the entire time?
I've done it, I think, a couple times. It was really very, very rare to do.
Yeah, I would think so. All right, so conditions today, I'm sure you're out here for the pro-am yesterday. I mean, you're one of the stars here at the TPC Boston. I mean, you've got people from all over New England coming to see you here. Conditions yesterday as opposed to today, what's the difference?
Well, the wind switch is coming out of the north, and that means all the par fives are into the wind, and a lot of the longer holes are into the wind. That's why the scores aren't that low. The course is actually playing very difficult, and I think anything in the 60s, or especially 67, is a great score.
Were you at the Red Sox game the other night that Patrick was at?
I wasn't.
You weren't?
I wasn't. It's the wrong.
I just wanted to know where your seats were and maybe where he moved from.
Yeah, I saw that. It's the wrong town to tweet about the Red Sox, I'll tell you. But I think a lot of people would love to be at that game. I'm sure he enjoyed it after he moved seats, yeah.
Who are you looking at this year? I know you're a New England sports fan, and you kind of follow a lot of different teams and areas and stuff, but we've been talking a lot about the Patriots and Red Sox today. You feeling particularly good about one over the other
right now? I mean, I think it's easy to love the Red Sox right now. They're doing so well, but yeah. I love this part of the year for the Patriots where everyone thinks, oh, they don't have wide receivers, or they're not going to be that good, and then...
I don't think anyone's been saying that.
No.
not on this station.
In the tour they are. They're all giving me crap for it, but I love watching Belichick do his thing. I follow the team tightly, so I love watching him. My question to you guys is, why didn't you think they're going after Dez Bryant? Is there just this money, or...?
We all have different opinions on this. The money would be the number one thing, but I keep hearing from guys who know a lot more about the game than I do that he doesn't have the explosiveness that he used to. And, you know, for Tom Brady, he needs guys who are going to run crisp routes and be exactly, you know, where he needs them to be, not necessarily far downfield. Dez Bryant is a guy who, in his prime, go downfield, get the ball, chuck it up, I'll come down with it.
Right.
It's not really Brady's game. It may not be Dez's game anymore.
Yeah, that's true. I could see a Randy Moss 2.0 with him, but I guess not. I guess he's not Randy Moss.
He's not that fast anymore. That's the problem. And the other thing about it is that the difference with Randy Moss is that Moss went to another team, right? He went from Minnesota to Oakland, and in Oakland he didn't have a quarterback. Dez has been in the same place the whole time, and they're just like, we're done with you. That's a different thing there.
Yeah. All right, Keegan, you're going to get pulled in 19 different directions because you're a co-leader here, 67 today. Thank you so much
for coming by.
Keegan Brown. Bradley, everybody, come on. There we go. A lot of people standing around watching Keegan and following him around the course, and we can expect more of that today and expect more players to join us today at the Dell Technologies Championship. Once again, I'll be out there with Ryan Johnston from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. in our broadcast tent right off the 18th green there at TPC Boston. More coming up here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. Stick around. Hold on.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
Back on the Sports Hub Golf Club here at Core Golf in Natick, 218 Speen Street. I'm here with one of the co-founders. His name is Bill McInerney. Bill, thanks for having us back out.
Thanks for coming out. I'm actually pretty excited that you're in our area now versus me being in your studio.
You would rather be outside actually hitting golf balls and doing instruction than sitting in a basement in Brighton?
Believe it or not, I would actually rather be at Core working on everyone's game.
I would rather be here too. That's why I said, no, I'm coming to you this time. So we're going to go through what you call some practice stations here today. I think that's what you call it. And also try and figure out how you implement these when you go to do more practice and then on to the golf course. Our quote-unquote student today is the director of instruction out here, Dan Boisvert. So if you don't mind, Bill, just take us through a couple of these practice stations that you utilize here at Core. I'm going to be like a little fly on the wall, and we'll have a lot of video up on this too so you can see what we're talking about. But if you had Dan as a student here, I see you've got him standing on what looks to be some kind of a stance aid
aid. Yeah, so the orange peel.
So as you start with Dan here, how would you take him through this first station, and what is this all about?
One of the unique ways that we like to train people is based upon mindset. So, like, what are you working on? One of the most challenging parts of learning the game of golf is separating mechanics from shot making, but most people aren't fortunate enough to have a fundamentally sound golf swing to where they can just go out and hit shots and actually feel like they have control over their shots. So what Dan's going to do here today is a little bit of both. So we put people through what I call mechanical practice, and then we have like a completely different area where we call it battlefield practice. Mechanical practice is where they're working on their fundamentals, or some people might call it their positions. I don't like to use that word too much, but just making a more mechanically sound golf swing. And you do that in reps, like you're kind of doing it at the gym. He might make 5 movements with a certain drill, and then he might come over and hit 3 golf shots, and then go back and make 5 movements again, and then come back and hit 3 golf shots. So they have a totally different mindset. One is what we call mechanical. One is what I call battlefield.
All right. Well, why don't you take Dan through some of the mechanical steps here, and we'll just kind of listen and watch. And as I said, check out our website and, my Twitter feed, at Hardy985. You'll see video of what it is that we're actually doing here today.
Yeah, perfect. That sounds good. So What Dan and I are going to work on right now, two things: his pivot, so the way he turns, along with where his arms need to be relative to his turn. So go ahead and set up, Dan, into your athletic position. That looks great. So let's do it without the ball first. Yep. And cross your arms, cross your shoulders. So right now he's going to maybe do this five times, rotate back. And we're using the orange peel to keep his weight more centered and him working around a center axis here. So Dan's going to rotate back, rotate through. And what he's feeling with this orange peel, because it's a little bit of a half moon here, that he's turning into his right side and rotating and staying centered.
The orange peel is actually a concave platform that he's set up on that, like you said, kind of helps with the weight distribution, but also seems to promote what I think is not so much a weight transfer, but really a focus on balance,
yep.
Which seems to be the way the idea of the golf swing and the philosophy of making it an athletic movement through the ball has gone in recent years.
Yeah, and it's teaching him how to stay a little bit more centered in his rotation. A lot of people have a lot of lateral movement. Hogan used to talk about turning in a barrel, like he felt like he turned in a barrel. So it's going to be very difficult for Dan to move laterally as he turns here. It's almost impossible, really, when you have the arch outside of your right foot and then outside of your left foot. So it's going to force him to stay centered.
Okay, so what's next, Bill?
So I might have him do 10 of those, and then I'm going to add the ball. So we call this the ball in front of the body drill.
This is a large ball that he's holding in his hands, not yep. a golf ball.
So again, this is his mechanical station. So he's just going to do some drills here, do some reps, very similar to what you saw the sensei do in the Karate Kid, where he had him wax on, wax off, paint the fence, sand the floor. So he basically was trying to groove his movements by doing these drills. So when the sensei was having him do these drills, it was just building reps. That's what Dan's doing right now. He's thinking a lot. Now we're going to put the ball down. We're going to pick up the club.
Finally, is he going to get to hit a golf ball?
He's going to get to hit a ball, and typically this would actually be a faster process. We wouldn't usually go this slow. So I might have him do three or four of those and then hit a couple shots. Now, when we're in our mechanical station, we don't care so much where the ball goes. So he's not really trying to hit great shots right now. He's just trying to figure out what the feeling is.
Well, you hit a great
Dan's
shot
a
anyway.
He's a good. he knows how to hit good shots regardless. So I'd have him hit two more balls. For this case, we'll just have him hit one.
So essentially, you're using these training aids here in a very mechanical, almost like a sterile environment, even though we're outside, we're on the beautiful, you know, natural grass hitting area here at Core. But you're using these mechanical devices to try and ingrain the proper feeling.
Perfect fundamentals.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And again, his mindset is into the way his body's moving. He's not caring about trying to hit a perfect shot. The challenge for most golfers is that they get consumed with good results. And when you're consumed with good results, it's very difficult to make better fundamental changes in your golf swing. So right now, I literally have Dan set up in an area where I don't really care how he hits the ball. And after he hits this shot, we're going to move to another section to where he actually is trying to hit good golf shots.
Let's see if he can hit another good one again, even though he's on that crazy balance board.
Good, really good. So he had a really nice rotation there. His hand stayed in front of his chest. He was more consumed with that versus consumed with hitting a good shot. Now we're going to move over to what I call the battlefield station. And I call it battlefield because when you're playing a round of golf, you put so much emphasis on the outcome and you're trying to perform and score well. So it's a totally different mindset. So right now I would have Dan take a practice swing, feeling what he is trying to work on, along with trying to feel the shot that he's trying to hit.
So when you're given lessons out here, this is the exact pattern you would do. A couple few shots using the aids, using the orange peel, using the alignment aids, and then right over to hitting an actual ball without any of that stuff in the way.
You got it. And again, it depends on the level the player's at or where they are fundamentally or how much time they have. But typically I might have them do a couple drills and then a few shots. A couple drills and then a few shots. So
let's see if it works.
So because right now, what kind of shot are you trying to hit there?
So I'm going to try to hit a fade. I'm going to try to start this about 15 feet left of my target and let it fall towards the pin.
Well, what's your target so I know if you did it or not?
So my target is this green flag about 160 yards out from us.
Okay. What club you got there? 160 yards. What, do you got a 3-iron?
I've got an 8-iron.
Oh. All right. He talks an awful good game, Bill. Let's see if he can do it.
He can play. I'm not worried about Dan.
It appears the method works. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty happy with that one.
I'm pretty satisfied. So, we would maybe hit two or three of these, and then we go back and do another set of rotational drills and ball in front of the body. And this is specifically geared towards Dan. This is not something that everyone needs to work on. You know, everyone would have their specific thing to work on. They might do 4 or 5 reps of that and then a couple shots, and we would call that a set.
But as an overall philosophy, doing something with the instructional aids, doing something more mechanically minded, and then moving over almost immediately and taking actual shots with all that other stuff, that's still kind of the underlying philosophy. It might just vary in terms of what you're working on or what you're trying to accomplish.
100%. And I think the problem with most people is they get caught up between taking their mechanics and overthinking while they're playing around a golf. And that's where you can get into some danger. So we're trying to differentiate the mindset and allow someone to maintain their athleticism and not lose that when they're trying to improve their mechanics.
If you want to see a quick 30-second recap of what these two things look like, check out our website. Go to my Twitter feed at Hardy985. You'll see the video up, and you'll get a chance to see Bill instructing Dan, who doesn't need a whole lot of instruction, I guess, at this point. At least he would have us believe. But what you're saying makes a lot of sense out here, Bill. And this is the type of stuff you guys do every day at Core.
Every day. And that's what makes it fun, and it makes it more enjoyable for the students.
Excellent. Bill McInerney, Core Golf in Natick, 218 Speen Street. Appreciate the time. Thanks again, Bill.
That was fun. Thank you, Hardy. I appreciate you coming out to our neck of the woods.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
And that's going to do it for this edition of the Sports Hub Golf Club on this Dell Technologies Championship weekend. Once again, if you're headed out to the tournament, please stop by and say hello. Ryan Johnston and I will be out there later today, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Tomorrow, RJ and I again from 2 to 6 p.m. And then I think Marshall Hook joins me on Monday from 3 to 7. Same location every single day. We've got a great spot right near the 18th green, right on the other side of the walkway from the 18th green grandstand. So feel free to stop by, say hello. Already got a chance to talk with CT Pan and Keegan Bradley. You may have heard that earlier in the show here today. And I spoke with Henrik Stenson, Daniel Berger, Kevin Chappell earlier this week. Brendan Steele scheduled to stop by and join us at some point over the weekend. So we'll keep an eye on that leaderboard and see who's doing what. As you know, if you're following this at all, you know that Justin Rose is alone atop the leaderboard, 6 under par after the opening round 65 yesterday. Russell Knox, Abraham Anser, both 1 stroke off the lead, and then a slew of golfers 2 strokes back, including Keegan, who we talked with yesterday, Bo Hostler, who played with Keegan Bradley yesterday, Gary Woodland, Chris Kirk. They're all at 4 under par after their opening round 67s. So again, enjoy the Labor Day weekend. Hopefully you'll get a chance to come out and check out part of the Dell Technologies Championship at TPC Boston, Norton, Mass. If you do, once again, be out there again live today from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.